The grace and love of our Lord and Savior be with us always. Amen. The word of God we want to consider today is again our gospel reading for this past Sunday, the 19th Sunday after Pentecost. We're looking at Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31, the story of the rich man and poor Lazarus. Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire.' But Abraham replied, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us.' He answered, 'Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' 'No, Father Abraham,' he said, 'but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" My dear friends in Christ, in the story, Jesus' story of the rich man and poor Lazarus, our Savior said, the time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. No one would wait on Lazarus during his lifetime, but angels did wait on him when he died. They served him in his death. They carried him to his heavenly home. He had suffered in this life, and apparently he was patient under that suffering. He did know how to do without the things that are generally considered good in this lifetime and even essential in this life. Well, he did without, but he enjoyed the Father's assurance of forgiveness, and he had peace of conscience. So in faith and as a truly blessed man, that's how he died. That's how he passed away. In faith, he woke up in heaven. After Lazarus's death, then that rich man also died. And he probably had an elaborate funeral, and maybe there were people who said great things about him. Maybe, maybe not. But what good would that do for him, since he was in the grave and since he died without faith as a truly poor man? He had his riches, but he was poor. Doris Duke was the daughter of American Tobacco Company founder James Buchanan Duke. And when she was 14 years old, back in 1925, she inherited her father's estate, which was valued at $113 million, an astronomical amount of money back in those days. She became the richest girl in the world, and she had, she listened to what her dad said when her dad said that she should deny herself nothing. She entangled herself in numerous affairs, in drugs and alcohol, and she spent millions on artwork, the greatest artwork, but she refused to replace even the broken toilet seats for the servants who served on her estate. Her theme in life was kind of be a user, not a loser. That was a favorite expression of hers as she hoarded for herself her money to exploit and take advantage of others. When she died on October 28th of 1993, she was 82 years old. She had no family, no friends, and no heir. She was rich in the eyes of the world, or was she, when you think about it? In death, she was actually poor, just like the rich man in the story that Jesus told here. They both had earthly assets, tremendous, but they didn't have any real treasures. Neither knew what it meant to be truly rich. Neither was truly rich. Now, understand that there's nothing wrong in wanting to get more wealth and possessions in this lifetime. There's nothing wrong with wanting to try to get ahead, unless our desire to get ahead is motivated by coveting, the sinful desire of coveting, wanting what we can't have, wanting what belongs to others, or a sinful desire of discontent, and that is believing that God is not taking care of us by giving us enough in the first place. Remember what Paul told Timothy, the young pastor. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. See, godliness with contentment, that's the secret to true happiness, to being truly rich. Having Jesus and his grace and love in your life, throughout your life, and in your death, that's what makes you truly rich. To be truly rich and in this life, and what we need is to have Jesus. And to be truly rich in our death, we need to have Jesus. So are we truly rich in death? Well, with Jesus, remember, we're the richest people in this world, in this life, and also when we die too. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, help us always to see how blessed we are in this life and in death because we have you. We pray in your name. Amen. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always.